Okay, here we go.
So this share originally started with a story that happened to me many years ago. I was standing in shul on Sukkot morning with my lulav in my left hand, of course, my esrog in my right hand, and I was trying to focus on the deeper meanings of the Dalet Minim. And suddenly I was brought down to reality by a cap on my shoulder. I looked up and I saw one of the other teachers slash rabbin from Yeshiva, and he looked down at me and he said with very superior knowledge, "You're not holding it right." And I responded, "You're right, I'm not holding it right, I'm holding it left." And that story isn't so true because the conversation took place in Hebrew and that pun doesn't work. So I slightly made up that story. But the point is that he was correcting me for doing something which was right, was correct, and this made me realize that there's a tremendous amount of ignorance, or definitely lack of awareness, as to left-handedness. And I don't mind that there's a lack of awareness and ignorance about left-handedness amongst right-handed people. What do I care? But definitely there's also a lot of ignorance and lack of awareness about the halachas of left-handed people within left-handed people also, and that's already an issue. Now, the reason there's a lack of awareness and ignorance amongst left-handed people about the halachas of left-handedness is, I think, there are two reasons. First of all, I think most right-handed people are also absolutely ignorant as to the halachas that they need to be doing with the right hand. As we'll see today, there are 88 halachas in all of Torah that require using a specific hand, a specific side of the body. And some of them don't apply in our generation, some of them only apply to men, but there are in total a large number of halachas that apply to using a certain hand or leg or side of the body, and I would assume that even most right-handed people are not aware of them. How much more so, since the majority of the world is right-handed, so most right-handed teachers and rabbis are right-handed, so it's almost never addressed. So what are the things that do or don't change for a left-handed person? So basically what we're doing in this class is achieving those two goals. One, go through a quick review of all the halachas in Torah that require focusing or being done, an action being done with a particular side of the body. And that part, in theory, is relevant to right-handed people too. So I decided to leave them out of it because, you know, if we can't exclude right-handed people from a left-handed class, then we'll be left with no rights. We are right now left with no rights. So the second part is within each one of the halachas that applies to a certain side of the body, left or right, does the halacha adapt and change for left-handed person or not? Now, as we saw in the flyer, if you saw the flyer, someone commented that it was very colorful and definitely made by a girl, so it wasn't, made by me. There are two parts to the class. The first part is non-halachic. It's just a quick introductory review of different perspectives on left-handedness. That's officially not Torah. It's just going to be me talking about left-handedness. But I think some of the facts are quite intriguing and interesting. And the second part will be also quite a quick review where I'll go through not all 88. I'll go through only the ones that apply equally to men and women. We'll go through all the halachas and we'll categorize them into different groups. And we'll explain why in some groups the halacha does change the lefties and in some groups it doesn't. And we'll go through all halachas one by one and say them. Now within those halachas, you will probably notice there are some things where you probably will wonder, do I really have to even be doing that with one hand or the other? So we can't really do too much in one go. So any questions you have about, do I really have to do that with one hand or the other, we'll have to leave for a separate time. The assumption is all these things you either have to or should, or it's recommended to whatever degree I'll mention, with one hand. And within and under that premise, we'll discuss what lefties do. If there's one of the things that you think that you don't have to do at all, we can discuss that separately. That's not directly connected to the left-handedness of it. So before we get to the share part, just a few basic background things. So interesting, as far as statistics, it's very unclear how many left-handed people there are in the world. I read a few different surveys and statistics, and it seems that there's a very, very big margin of error, that some statistics show that it's between 7 and 10%, and some show that it's up to 30%. So basically, we have no clue. It's a bit strange. So one reason for that is because scientists don't really agree how to define a left-handed person. Some people go by writing, some people go by throwing and catching, and some people go by just general more control over fine motor skills. So it could be that there is a certain number of people that write with the left hand, 10%, but there are more than that people that throw with the left hand, so it's really unclear how many of us are there. But it seems to vary between 10 and 30%. Why it seems to be something like 70%, but there seems to be quite a big variation. I saw one study, this is interesting and I'm not sure how true, any study you read on the left-handed site, you're not sure how to believe, but I saw one study that claimed that over the last 100 years there's been a tremendous increase in the percent of left-handed people, and they suggested one of two reasons. One reason may be because, you know, even in our grandfather's generation, they used to still tie the left hand behind the back, or they viewed left-handedness as some kind of disability. and therefore they try to convert people and successfully convert many people to being right-handed. And the other issue is that some people, this, I don't know if it's true, but this is what they claimed, some people actually would avoid marrying a left-handed person. Almost like leprosy. Left-handedness. And we'll see a few interesting, that were very negative about left-handedness. And then the left-handed gene pool was very limited, and today, we have a heter to marry anyone we want, and we spread it around. Could be not true. I wanted to suggest that as the world is getting closer to the days of Mashiach, we're becoming a more refined species, we're actually becoming more and more left-handed. So maybe when Mashiach comes, we'll all wave to him as a united left-handed species. Probably not true, but nice thought anyway. Any of us, all of us, I assume, as left-handed people. Oh, welcome. We are all aware that there are some technical difficulties and disadvantages in being left-handed. I mentioned some on the flyer. Scissors sometimes are troublesome, bruising the thumb. Sometimes they don't even cut. My son, who's 10, is left-handed. He has no ability to open a can of food. He'll stand there for like hours just twisting with this or that. He can't do it. Like, can you open this for me? And that's a common one. Writing in English with a pen smudges, which is a reason to make Aliyah very early like I did. And Hebrew is the left-handed language, because you can be lefty writing Hebrew, no smudging. That's a good one. I had a lot of trouble as a kid with spiral notebooks. You can't actually write with them. In general, very annoying. They have those chair and table combos sometimes. I took a five-hour written test, the smicha, in one of those chair and table combos. You can imagine, I'm also quite tall. So basically I was writing on the floor. So those can be quite uncomfortable. And in fact, the one I use was a left-handed one. It's not comfortable. Someone told me this. I'm not sure if it's true, but I have a lot of trouble cutting challah on Shabbos. It gets very messy in tears. And someone told me that he knows for a fact that because on every challah knife, the, I don't know what they call, like the jagged edges, they're always on one side of the knife. It in fact is harder for you to cut challah as a left-handed person. So I don't know if that's true. It could be done just clumsy, but that's what they claim. And one and only time I went golfing many years ago, we picked up the golf clubs. We did like a half an hour walk to get to the golf course. I got into position, and then I realized that I had a right-handed club. It was the last time I ever went golfing. And there's one other example that was actually very painful, almost an injury, which probably doesn't, you probably won't experience this. You might if you want to, but all rifles are right-handed. And what that means is that the case, the shell of the bullet, flies out the right side as to not hit you in the face. Which of course means that if you're left-handed, it flies into your face. So depending on exactly how the rifle is made, it's not an issue. There's one particular rifle that I once used in a shooting range, and every bullet hit me in the head. Not the bullet itself, of course, but the shell. By the end of the shooting range, I was in worse condition than the target. And I just had red dots going across my forehead. So there are definitely issues with right-handed and with left-handedness. There was famously, when I was a kid, a left-handed shop in London, a tiny corner shop where you could buy everything for left-handed people. It was actually quite silly. You could buy a mug. Why would you need a left-handed mug? So the picture on the front. Or you could buy a pen. Because I don't know if this bothers you, but in regular pen and pencil, if there's writing, it goes the wrong way for left-handed. The most pathetic and useless thing. But you can buy left-handed anything, and you can go online, you can find any product in the world left-handed. You can even get a left-handed piano with the keys all reversed, and you can do whatever you want. Yeah, it's probably not most people. If you were to train in the first place that way, it might help you, but left-handed.
Yeah, but also ballpoint pens are designed for righties.
I mean, the way the...
Good. The ball slides. Because if lefty,
that's why I have awful handwriting. Great. Interesting that throughout the generations, as I hinted to you before, left-handedness was considered something almost evil and represented the devil. And it's fascinating that until today, in many, many languages... And in this I have to trust my Google searches because I don't speak any of these languages, except for one or two. But in many, many languages, the word right is associated with positive, like in English, just. And the word left corresponds to some kind of meaning of bad or maimed or negative. There's a lot of listed, and we know that in English, of course, right means correct and just. And that's true in French and German, Spanish and Portuguese also. And the Latin word for left is sinister. The word sinister just means left. So kind of there's something sinister and evil about it. And in many, many languages, left means bad and awkward or even maimed. So if you're ever in Greek or in Italy or in Spain, in Greece, in Italy, Spain, France, in Holland, in Germany, in Norway, in Sweden, in Portugal, or in China, so if someone insults you, you'll know that they're just calling you left-handed. But we know, of course, today that this is all rubbish. There's nothing actually intrinsically negative and dark about being left-handedness, about being left-handed. It's just a scientific, technical thing. But it is interesting that even within science, the old theory, a long time ago, was quite depressing and negative. The old theory was that we know that left-hand and right-hand have a reverse correlation to the left-hand and right side of the brain. So the old theory was that all left-handed people are left-handed because as a fetus in the womb, not enough blood reached the left side of the brain. So by default, the right side of the brain became overdeveloped, and that's how we became left-handed. So we really were all some type of invalid. And of course, since then, they've debunked this theory, and they've proven that it's totally genetic. There is a specific left-handed gene. It's not dominant, so you might have it and not pass it on, and it might only come up later on. But there is a phenomenon even today that some people are left-handed because of an issue during a pregnancy. But 99% of us are hopefully not invalids, we're just left-handed. Of course, we also know that the right side of the brain, left side of the brain, they not exclusively, but they have different areas of expertise, and therefore, you know, the right side of the brain, they say, controls more the emotional expression, music, creativity, imagination. And I have neither of those things, so it's a bit strange. But the left side supposedly controls language, writing, math, and logic. Clearly these things aren't exclusive. It's actually interesting. I always assume that all left-handed people, they have a dominant right side. It's not like that. 99% of right-handed people have a dominant left side of the brain. In left-handed people, it's really quite split. And there's a certain percent of us that have a dominant right side of the brain, but it isn't really a mirror image of right-handed people. And that's why you'll find maybe a healthier fuse and combination of the different positive aspects. So basically, hopefully we have the best of both worlds. It has been noted, and you can do your own searches depending on which area you're interested in, but it has been noted that there's a disproportionate percent of successful and famous people that are left-handed, more so than, just like more Jews, you know, the proportion of Jews that won Nobel Prizes is disproportionate to the number of Jews in the world. So there's a similar idea in being left-handed. So being a left-handed Jew is basically the creme de la creme. But in almost every area of success, there seem to be quite notable famous people disproportionate to the percentage of left-handed people. So you can look up your own lists, you know, in whatever area of life you like. But there are a few particularly famous ones like Einstein and Henry Ford, Bill Gates, Aristotle, Napoleon, Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Nelson, Mozart, Beethoven, Leonardo da Vinci, Billy the Kid, Jack the Ripper, who we don't even know who he was, but we know based on his work, if you can call it that, that he was left-handed one.
And
so, yeah.
Based on his work.
Yeah, oh,
you can tell. The first thing you can tell about a stabbing is which hand do you stab with.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing to tell. So, I'm saying that as if I've, you know, every time I see a stabbing, I can. And it's interesting, this might be a conspiracy if you want, but someone has pointed out that 6 of the last 12 American presidents were left-handed, that's 50%, and definitely about 8 or 9 of the last 100 years worth of American presidents, like Obama, Bush, Clinton, Reagan, JFK, and many others. So in theory, we do control the world, basically. So that's pretty good. Now, one sad negative point, not sure how much I like this, but we know that a left-handed person is possible to be, a Kohen who's left-handed is possible to work in the Beis HaMikdash. The question is why? So one opinion in Shonim is that it's just a drasha from a pasuk. The pasuk says right hand, so get him. But the Rambam says that it's a mun. The lashon the Rambam uses is that being left-handed is mun, which means it's halachically type of a disability. And it actually happened a few years ago that a Kohen today, whose son was left-handed, took him to a Chaim Kanievsky in Gevrak, and he said, look, I'm a Kohen, my son's left-handed, I'm hoping the Mashiach is going to come any second, and I want my son to be able to work for the Beis HaMikdash, should I convert him to be a right-handed, so I tie his hand? And he told me, you don't need to, because when Mashiach comes, all disabilities will be cured, so we'll all be right-handed anyway. I don't know if I like that story that much. I'm not sure that's how it works. Even if we say that being left-handed is halachically disability, I don't think it's a type of disability that needs to be cured when Mashiach comes. So that's, we'll leave that on a slightly negative note.
That's really depressing.
Yeah, so let's say that it didn't happen. Anyway, it was a nice story. I don't know if he actually meant it literally. I mean, I guess he did because he said it. But that could be his opinion. He was right-handed, so his opinion doesn't count for me. Anyway, now we get to the halachic part. So as I mentioned, there are at least 88 known halachas that the Torah, the Raisa of the Rabbanon, dictates or recommends, but either based on halacha or Kabbalah, that we use to serve one side of the body. Now, most of this material is taken, there are 4 or 5 different books out there, Sfarim, about left-handedness. The most classic and famous one is a tiny pamphlet. This doesn't look like a tiny pamphlet because this isn't a pamphlet. It's a tiny pamphlet, it's really a few pages long, written by Chaim Kanievsky, I'm sorry, and he wrote just a list of 88 halachas of the Torah requires one hand, and does it change your not for left-handed person? That pamphlet was later printed in 4 or 5 editions with quite an extensive perush by different achronim that added on more discussion. So if you're really into it and you want to cite all the sources, I'm not going to have time to cite every source and say exactly where it came from. So if you want to look up more, you can look it up. There is kind of an English version of Pesach Krohn, famous for Pesach Krohn. So for his son was left-handed, for his son's bar mitzvah, he wrote a pamphlet which is really 99% just taken from Chaim Kanevsky's pamphlet, and he supplements with a few other opinions. So what we'll do is a combination of these two books and a few other books that I looked up, and we'll get the bigger picture. Now, as I said, some things you might hear and say, I didn't even know you have to do that with a particular hand, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, and we can discuss that later. But we'll just assume at this point that all these things need to be done, either as an obligation or as at least a recommendation, either based on halacha or kabbalah, and then within that assumption we'll see if it changes for us or not, and then at the end we'll have time for questions. So as we have an introduction, Chaim Kanevsky writes that there are 8 categories of things that need to be done with a specific hand. Now, I don't know why I chose 8, because in some of them there are 2 parts, and in some of them it's only 1 example. So you could split it up in many different ways. Rabbi Krohn splits it up as things everyone does in right hand, things everyone does in left hand, and things that depends if you're left hand. You can split up it. Chaim Kanevsky did it this way, so we'll do it this way, and it gives a bit more background and understanding. The first category, he says, is things that are dependent on physical strength. Meaning some things, the halacha might say, do it with your right hand or right foot because it's physically stronger. And then, of course, the halacha will adapt, and left-handed people will do it with their stronger limb. Because there's nothing intrinsic about the right hand, it's just that happens to be the physically stronger hand. That's one category. Second category are things that people do with the right hands, the halacha dictates to the right hand, because it represents Hashem's right hand, or right side, or because of any other Kabbalistic reason that the right represents chesed, and left represents din. So things that are connected to something which is more supernatural, so they don't change. Because even for us left-handed people, we still accept that Hashem's right hand is on one side, and the right represents chesed, and left represents din. So those things will not change and adapt to left-handed people. The third category are things, halachas that we do on a certain part of the body because of the structure of the internal organs. And the assumption is that the internal organs are the same by left-handed people. And you laugh, but it's not so simple. In the book, he brings 3 or 4 poskim that they say that we know for a fact, based on evidence that a researcher told us, that all the internal organs are reversed and mirrored in left-handed body. That's what I said. That's what he says. And he says, yeah, I know a doctor who saw 6 cases of left-handed people, and he did a post-mortem, and the internal organs are all reversed. Now, it's just not true. There is a condition, you can look it up, I did yesterday, there is a condition of having reversed internal organs, and it's about 1 in 10,000 people, which is a bit, but it's also not that much. There is about a lot of them in the world. And there is a condition that approximately less than 1 in 10,000 people have reversed internal organs, which is quite relevant, because if you have a pain on the wrong side, it could be appendicitis and you won't know, and the doctor won't know. So it's important for these people to be recognized as people with this condition. But since left-handed people are 1 in 10, and this condition is less than 1 in 10,000, so clearly not all, vast majority of left-handed people have normal bodies, and even those people that do have reversed internal organs are not necessarily all lefties. So it's a nice thing that they found out, but it's wrong. So some halachas, if we were to think that we had reverse internal organs, then we'd be, you know, doing video on the wrong side, because our heart would be here. Well, the heart isn't really, but so some halachas, in theory, those halachas could change. But since we know for a fact that the body is the same inside, so that category of physical anatomy stays the same for lefties as it does for righties. The fourth category, and this is the one which is really, I think, if there was one thing I have to say from this whole shit, it would be just this, the most lemaisa thing, which is things that depend on the important hand. And we'll see this is very relevant, mainly for every time you make a bracha on food and every time you do a mitzvah. So things that depend on the right-handed people do because right is their more important hand. So there's a big machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rima, so make a different halachas for Sfarim Ashkenazim in general, as to do lefties change at the left hand, or do they also do the same thing with the right hand? So that's a very big one that has a lot of nafkaminas. It's more relevant than the others. A fifth category, which we're not going to have any examples for, because it's really mainly things that apply only to the Beis HaMikdash and for Kohanim, it's places where the Torah said explicitly the word right. Do this with your right hand, or Metzora, with the right ear, with the right thumb. So what happens with a left-handed person? Do we deviate from the Pasuk, or does it do the same? And that's not so relevant for us. The sixth category, which is relevant in 1 or 2 examples, there's a cloud called Pinot Shata Poneh Yehud Erechemim. Whenever you turn a turning, you have 2 options of which way to turn. Obviously, if you need to get to a certain place, you don't need to only turn right. You can turn... Yeah, my mother says that when she was a kid, she had a folding bike, but it would fold every time she turned left. So she had to only take right turnings, and it took a long time to get to work. I'm not sure she was serious. Probably wasn't. But The halacha is that in some cases you start from the left and you turn towards the right. So now the Magen Avraham is going to say that stays the same for lefties. We'll see that's relevant by Hanukkah, maybe by other areas also. The seventh category are things that aren't really about you, they're about other people. You're doing them, but they're there for the benefit of other people as well. We'll see this is relevant to where you put your mezuzah. There was a possible opinion that said you might have to put the mezuzah on the other side. Interesting. But because it relates to other people too, so that doesn't adapt, and we do the same as righties. The last category, which isn't really a category, just one example, is the order in which you tie your shoelaces, assuming that you have shoelaces, and assuming that you hold this minhag, so that also changes. So those are the six categories. Now I'll actually run through a quick review of the halacha. So we're going in order of the Shulchan Aruch. So chronologically, we'll start with Aruch Chaim and go through the daily routine, get to Shabbos and Moadim, and then get the general ideas. So we'll do it quickly. Of course, if there's any questions, just shout and scream. So the first thing is putting on shoes and tying shoes. Again, not everyone necessarily holds to this. This is mainly a Kabbalah-based idea, but it does say in Shulchan Aruch and Mishneh Berurah that one should put on one's shoes and tie one's shoelaces in a specific order. And what's written is like this. The right-handed person should first put on his right shoe, then his left shoe, because that's something about the intrinsic importance of the right foot because of Nyani Kabbalah. But then when it comes to tying, so the halacha is that the right-handed person should first tie his left shoe, and then shoelace, and then tie the right shoelace. Why is that? That's because by tefillin we find that there's a superior importance to the left hand in terms of tying. The right-handed person ties tefillin on his left hand. It's a bit strange because we're talking about the hand that's tied on, but the left hand has importance in terms of tying issues. So what comes out is that a right-handed person who would follow this halacha would go right, left, left, right. Now the question is, A, since the left-right part of tying is connected to tefillin, does it even apply to women? And B, even if it does it change now that we're left-handed? So there is a machlokas poskim for a right-handed woman, if she needs to go right, left, left, right, or because she's not putting on tefillin anyway, she may or may not, but in theory she doesn't have to put on tefillin, so therefore it will stay right, left, right, left, or then it could just be right tie and then left tie. So that's one machlokas. And there is the other issue of being left-handed, and then there's a machlokas if being left-handed, does it change it for you or not? So what comes out is that really it's very unclear if a left-handed man, and definitely left-handed woman, has to do it in a certain order. So Shlomo Zalman said that because it's a machlokas, you can basically do whatever you want. So as far as putting on the shoes, really you should put on the right shoe and then the left. As far as tying shoelaces, if you have shoelaces, then you can do whatever you want. It's pretty much okay. There's no preference. As far as taking off shoes, it's the reverse halacha. Again, I don't know how many people hold this, but ideally, according to the Shulchan Aruch, when you take off your shoes every night, you should take off your left shoe first, because it's disrespectful to the right foot that it should be taken off first. So in theory, you should be getting undressed, left shoe off first, and then right shoe off first, unless, this is into discussion, if you're taking off your shoes because the halacha requires it. When would you do that? When would there be a halacha to take off your shoes? So before, what? Or either for Bikrastanim, or before Yom Kippur, or before Tisha B'Av, or to change into Shabbos shoes. So in those cases, some posts consider, Rav Kook said that anytime you're taking off shoes, because you're supposed to take off shoes, so then dafka you start from the right. But again, this isn't so much a halacha, it's more of a nice Kabbalistic minhag. It's quoted in the posts.
Wait, that's for everyone or just
not? Yeah, because the taking off, the putting on the shoes and taking off the shoes is universal, because it's about Kabbalah. The shoelace, the tying is connected to the tefillin in right hand, left hand, so that's flexible. So basically, bottom line is right shoe on first, left shoe on second, and taking off the opposite. In the time, you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
What does halacha see? What does halacha define a left person as?
Oh, so technically speaking, someone who does the majority of all his, five motor skill functioning with his left hand is left-handed. There is the issue of someone who does everything with his left hand except for writing. So then, by tefillin at least, there's a machlokas poskim. But some poskim say that only applies to tefillin. So, unless you're in that situation where you do everything with your left hand except writing, then you're fine. You should know if you're lefty or righty. Meaning if you do the majority of things with your left hand and you write, even if you have good control of your right hand, you'll be a left-handed person. So there aren't that many borderline cases. It's mainly for tefillin and when there's a split between the majority of a functioning versus the writing. And then what most people do in that case in tefillin is they swap. I mean, they put on one hand and then they put it for a brief moment on the other hand afterwards. But in most cases, it's quite clear. If it's not clear, then maybe it shouldn't be. No. Okay.
My brother's like that.
What? Good?
My brother. I think he writes with his right hand, but does everything else lefty.
Is he bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
And what does he do to him? Do you know? Should find out.
What about if you're the opposite?
Or it might be the other way around. Maybe he writes lefty.
Same thing. Same, so I think either way it would be a suffix, but I think mainly they're machmir on that by tefillin, and then they put it on the dominant hand, and then after davening, it's for one moment, they put it on the other hand. I think it's two of the rebbeim by us to do that. It looks quite weird. Anyway, another thing that, again, this is not a halacha that you have to do, but it is written in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah writes that when any item of clothing you put on, you should put on the right side first, meaning right sleeve first, right trouser leg, right sock, right arm of the jacket. The Chasam Sofer was not makar in this at all. Not something you have to do as a halacha. I mean, it is written in the Mishnah Berurah, and I mean, I find it particularly hard to put on a jacket from the right arm first, like 10 minutes. So I don't always do it, but if possible, there is an ideal as far as showing how it comes from the side of Chesed towards the side of Din. That's supposed to be something positive that you should do. There is even a din that I think very few people do, but there's an Mishnah Berurah that when you're washing yourself or showering, you should wash and shower the right side of your body first. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do in or out of the shower, but that is the din, that because the right side is Kabbalah, left side is Chesed, so it's ideal to tend and serve the right side of your body first to represent this idea. But again, that's not something which is absolutely halachic. Now going to more halachic things. Matilas Yadayim, both in the morning and before a Suda, so the halacha is supposed to lift the kli with the right hand, hand it to your left hand, and then pour first on your right hand. And that depends on objective Kabbalistic terms. We want to show how the Midas HaChesed is controlling Midas HaDin. Midas HaDin is serving Midas HaChesed. That applies equally to left-handed and right-handed people, so now we do the same as right-handed people. A very interesting one is covering your eyes during Kriyas Shema. So this is people asking this. So do left-handed people, and it's written in Shulchan Aruch. It's not like you won't be able to Kriyas Shema without it, but if you're asking Kriyas Shema, Shulchan says you should cover your eyes during Kriyas Shema in order to prevent any, you know, distracting thoughts. There could be a deeper reason behind it also, but the question is, what do left-handed people do? So the truth is that for a man, there's a few other considerations, because a man is holding his tzitzit with his left hand in the morning, and if you're left-handed, you have the tefillin straps on the right hand. So some poskim, the left-handed said that they don't want to do it with the tefillin straps because it's a bit uncomfortable, or because they have the tzitzit, so the different considerations. But for a woman, you haven't got those considerations. The bottom line is, the most poskim say that it is something Kabbalistic and something supernatural, and therefore you should still do it with your right hand. One of the chronim of Ben Zion HaBashal is actually paralyzed in his right hand, and he used to lift his right hand with his left hand to cover his eyes during Kriyat Shema. So clearly he held that it was something more than just practically covering your eyes. So definitely you should cover your eyes with the right hand, even if you're left-handed, because that is something that is more Kabbalistic. The idea of covering one hand with the other in davening, Shemon Esra, it really depends if you're davening with a sitter or not, but if you're davening Shemon Esra without a sitter, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, you should be davening with your hands on your heart in such a fashion. So Rambam writes to put the right hand on top of the left hand, which could or could not be comfortable for you as a left-handed person. So here again, Rohan Kaneski says that clearly it's something metaphysical about the right hand representing Chesed, controlling and covering the left hand representing Din. So that halacha stays the same for left-handed people too. The first halacha that we'll see now that does change is the steps you take back after Shemoneh Esrei. So halacha for a right-handed person is, or this really I should say a right-legged person, because this really mainly applies if you're left-legged and not just right-handed, left-handed. But the halacha is that a right-handed person, when he takes back the three steps at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you start with your weaker leg. Because you're supposed to express how you're not so comfortable, you don't want to leave, you have to leave, but you don't want to. You want to make it look hard to leave. So you start, the first step you take back is with your weaker leg. So that does adapt, and left-handed people, we should be taking back our three steps by starting with the right foot. Or same thing in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, when you take the three steps forward, so they should start with the left foot. So you're going forward with the strong leg, and coming back with your weak leg to show that you'd rather be davening than not davening.
If you're left-handed...
And right-footed?
Yeah.
No, a lot of people. Some people are split.
Does that mean that you have to be left-footed?
No, a lot of people are left-handed, but in all forms of sports, they don't have the right foot.
That moves first is the one that's... Like when I kick a soccer ball?
Yeah, that would define you as which.
Yeah, I think it's my right also.
So I think with most of us it is, but there are many cases where it's split. So if you are left-handed but right-footed, so then there's a machlokes, what did you do after Shemoneh Esrei? So basically you can do whatever you want. The other hand though, after you take the three steps back and you do the three bowings, left, right, and center, so that doesn't change. Because the reason we first bow to the left is because that's parallel to Hashem's right, and even we have to admit that Hashem is right-handed. So we still do the turning to the left. One of the main nafkaminas, and this is relevant, and I think there's tremendous ignorance about this, but every time you hold food, either if you're holding the food itself, or holding the fork that has the food in it, or holding the cup to drink, or hold an object of a mitzvah, like I mentioned with the luluf, so the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you do it with your right hand. What about left-handed people? So Shulchan Aruch himself writes that even left-handed people do it with their right hand. And the Rama paskens that left-handed people do with the left hand. So that means that every time we hold something that we eat or are doing a mitzvah on, we should be holding it with our left hand. Some poskim say that this is because it's a new category of things that are mitzad importance, and because for us left hand is more important, so we go by left hand, and the Shulchan Aruch holds it, it doesn't go by importance. And some say that there's an extra element the Shulchan Aruch might be holding, that there's a Kabbalistic element also. So for one reason or another, but what comes out is that this is the main difference between us and them, which is we'll be holding the object of a mitzvah or food in the left hand. If you happen to be a Shul Rav, which you're probably not,
what about Sfarim?
So Shulchan Aruch, hold it in the right hand, even if left handed. For me it's funny because the only thing I do with my right hand is drink water. Because that's good, I pour with my left hand. So by default I'm left with the cup in the right hand. So it's quite awkward for me to make a bracha, so it became kind of a reverse that I feel, so I have drinking right hand dominance. But so Sfardi should be holding all foods and all bracha items in the right hand, Ashkenazi lefty should be holding all bracha, all food items you make a bracha on and mitzvah objects in the left hand. There is I really don't know if anyone does this, but I'm saying it just because it's in the Mishnah Berurah. But the Mishnah Berurah writes that when someone hands you a halachic sefer, any sefer of Torah, you should accept it with your right hand. Thought of halacha, it's because the Torah was given with the right hand, so therefore giving or taking a sefer should be ideally done with the right hand. You don't have to do it, but it's there. The Rama writes that when you cut your nails, whenever, or before Shabbos, it is a mitzvah to cut nails before Shabbos, so you should first cut the nails, the fingernails of the left hand. There's also, you may or may know, the particular order in which you're supposed to cut the nails on each hand, which you may or may not hold of Alpi Kabbalah. And the idea why you cut the nails of the left hand first, the Prima Gadol says quite a nice idea, that he claims that nails, fingernails, represent unnecessary luxuries. Because that's like the excess, extra useless part of the body, these dead cells that accumulate at the end of our fingers. So cutting off the nails represents the idea that I'm willing to sacrifice and cut off and cut down on extra unnecessary luxuries in this world in order to get reward in the next world. So you start with the left side because you're getting rid of a negative thing, so we start on the quote-unquote negative side. The problem is that that's only one interpretation of the Rama, and some of Farshim interpret the Rama in a different way, so it ends up that there's actually a machlokes, which hand you're supposed to cut first, and the rule by us is anytime there's a machlokes, you can do whatever you want. That's not the rule in general in halacha, but the rule in which hand to use, the rule is that if there's a machlokes, what righties should do, the lefties can definitely choose themselves, so you can cut either left hand or right hand first, and that's fine. On Friday night, if you do have the minag, like many people do, to give a bracha to the children, so there's a machlokes if you should be using one hand or two hands. Probably the stronger case is to use two hands, according to most poskim. But if you do have the minhag, according to the Ari, to use only one hand, so the Ari says to use specifically the right hand, to bestow the divine bracha, use the hand that's the side of chesed, and that doesn't change for lefties or righties, so if you do want to use one hand, make it the right hand. If you want to use both hands, that's fine, maybe even better. By Havdalah, the halacha is supposed to look at the nails of your right hand fingernails during the bracha, during, before, or after the bracha of Borei Me'oreh, and that doesn't change the lefties because it's something Kabbalistic about the hands. Some people can be right that you should be very careful not to look at the nails of the left hand.
They'll
because
do
too. So well, a lot of people do too, and if that's your minhag, then it's fine. But a lot of people can write that Alpi Kabbalah, you should be very careful to not do both. So I'm not saying that's something bad.
So we should do the right hand?
I'm saying if you have a minhag, if you do two for a reason, because you know your parents told you this is the way we do it, but if it's just that you know you heard there's a thing called looking at the nails, and you yourself. So I think you have to check where the minhag comes from. I don't want to debunk any ancient Swiss minhagim. But if it's a proper minhag, no, there are people that have the minhag and they have basis for it to do too. But if you don't have a background, it's just that's where it came from. So it would be ideal to do it with one and then be good according to everyone and not do two and risk some kind of supernatural danger according to some people. Haseiva, leaning during Matzah and Maror, so there's a discussion in itself if women should or shouldn't be doing it, but the Gemara says that important women should do a seiva, and I would hope to believe that most people consider themselves important in this room. So important women should or could be doing a seiva. So the halacha is that a right-handed person does a seiva, he leans to the left. And there are really two reasons behind it. One is because then his right hand is free to be holding the matzah or the cup and he can eat. The other reason is to not choke. And they're not choking, based according to what the Rishonim say, is because the way the windpipe and the esophagus are lined up, so leaning to the left is dangerous. It's a bit strange scientifically because they're not actually left or right, they're one in front of the other, so it really shouldn't make a difference, but maybe the way it opens makes a difference. But it's actually a machlokes between Rashi and Rashbam in Arbei Psachim, if the windpipe and the esophagus are side to side or in front of the other. So it's a very, very realistic machlokes that they in theory, could have checked just by looking at a dead body of a person, but they didn't really do that in the autopsies in those days. But so the halacha is that a right-handed person means to the left, and there are two reasons behind it. So the halacha, the lefties do the same, even though it's slightly uncomfortable to then only have your right hand to use, so you're not doing much, you're just holding a matzah or a cup. But you lean to the left because since it's an issue of the human anatomy, and we assume that it isn't different, this will be interesting. If a person does know that he has that condition, where his organs are reversed, I'm not sure that those two organs are also reversed, but if they are, you should be leaning to the right. But we should all be leaning to the left. But yeah, but if you did lean the wrong side, it is okay, you don't have to eat the matzah and drink again. When it comes to kaparos and Yom Kippur, which you should be doing, so the halacha is for righties that they swing the chicken slash fish slash money. I feel bad for my kids that they learn every year about the chicken and the fish and that they've never seen the chicken or fish, they just see the money and they get disappointed every year. But just can't, there's no access to chickens or fish where I live. There's access to cows, but I have a hard time swinging a cow. But whatever you're swinging above your head, so halacha is that you do it with your right hand. So the Rechaim Kanevsky, he sides that you should do it with your left hand, because it's just like shaking lulav, it's just like a bar mitzvah. He's not that sure, because maybe there's an extra Kabbalistic element, so he leaves that open, so you can swing around the chicken, fish, or money with whatever hand you want. Lulav, we already said, Sfardim, right hand, Ashkenazim, left hand. Interesting though, because in the lulav, there's two left and right issues. One is which hand do you hold the lulav in, which hand do you hold the esrog in. But there's another left and right issue with where you put the hadassim and the arokas. So the halacha is that even left-handed people that are holding the lulav in the left hand, according to the Rama, but they still position the hadassim on the right, because that's the more important side. So one of the Achronim, the Bikur Yaakov, he was very troubled by this. He said it's a contradiction. You're holding the lulav in your left hand because that's more important, but you're putting the hadassim on the right side of the lulav because that's more important. And he was very bothered by that, and he wanted to side with the option of saying that you should flip the way the hadassim and the are too, which would cause a bit of a stir in shuls. But the real answer to that question is, there's two answers. The main answer is that even if I'm left-handed, I would assume that my lulav isn't left-handed. Meaning, which hand I hold the lulav in depends on my left-handedness. But yeah, exactly. The lulav isn't doing an action with its left hand. Rather, that's objective, that on the right side of the lulav is the more important side. Even we admit that right is more important because most people are right-handed and all other reasons. It's just that our actions are done in our dominant hand sometimes. So it's not an issue, and you should not flip the way you hold the... I would do it just for fun to see if anyone sure would notice. Probably not. But you shouldn't do it. As far as the turning around and shaking the lulav and doing the circular motion, so it's the same as righties. We turn to the right. The different in hugging exactly what to do. But in theory, you should be turning to the right, because that is an issue of kol pinot, turning from the right side. And that's the same reason also for Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah candles, there's two right and left issues going on. The first right and left issue is that on the first night you put the first candle on the right. I mean, this is your own. And the second left and right issue is that in the subsequent nights, you start lighting from the newest candle and you turn right. So there's two rights, the first positioning of the candle on the right and the going from left to right on the next night. And both those things stay the same for left-handed people also. A, because it's an issue of turning right. That's not so much an issue of us, rather an issue of turning right. And also an issue because it's public and things that are public, you should always do. Things in the Kachila, me, as public things, Pishtim and Isa, do them the way that most people do. Interesting question. Is there a preference as to which hand you hold the candle in when you light Hanukkah or Shabbos candles? So one person wanted to say that you have to hold the candle in your left hand, Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles, because that's like shaking the lulav. But it's not necessarily true. It's not necessarily true. And Chaim Kanevsky Sefer, he writes that you can do it in either way you want, and he says a very interesting svar, that you can't talk about a preference of doing it in the left hand or in the right hand if there's no halacha that requires to use a hand. If I want, I can light my Hanukkah candles with my mouth also. It might be a health and safety issue to hold the candle in my mouth, but the halacha does not require to light candles via a hand. You have to just affix a flame onto the wick. So you can do it with your foot or with your mouth. So since there's no halacha requiring a hand, mimele there's no halacha requirement of which hand you use. So both by Hanukkah and by candle lighting, you can use whichever hand you want, and there's no halacha preference. Similar idea also to giving tzedakah. So he brings, Reb Chaim Kanevsky brings, that when you give tzedakah, the Ari wrote that you should give tzedakah with your right hand. The right hand, the chesed hand, giving tzedakah. But the commentary on the Reb Chaim Kanevsky, which is quite insultingly called Yamin Moshe, the commentary on the left-handed sefer, called Yamin Moshe, but he writes that it doesn't really matter which hand you use, because the mitzvah of giving tzedakah doesn't dictate physically handing a coin to a poor person with your hand. You could just put it somewhere and you could pick it up, or you could transfer it to his bank account. The mitzvah is the change in his financial status, not the act of positioning the coin into his hand. So there's not necessarily a halacha of which hand you do it in. And we're almost finished. Interesting discussion as far as mezuzah. Mezuzah we put on the right side of entering the door. Why so? Because the pasuk says, "Uchtatam mezuzot beitecha." Beitecha literally means your house. The Chazal darshan beitecha could also be biatcha, the way you come. And the way most people walk is by first moving the right foot. So the Mordechai discussed, so what does that mean about left-handed people? Does that mean we should be putting our mezuzah on the left side of our house because we walk with our left foot first? So he said no, but he said no for a strange reason. He said no because the mezuzah is not just there for you, it's there for all the people that live in the house. Which of course raises the simple question of, what happens if you live alone and you're lefty, or if everyone in your family is left-handed? Or even if other people live there, but it's my house and it should go by me. So the Bach says really the real answer is that the Torah didn't actually say, put the mezuzah on the side where you walk first. It said a word, and then Chazal made a drasha. So the drasha is just the halachic mechanism of how Chazal reveal, or how they teach, or how they show the halacha, but the halacha is given on the basis of how most people in the world walk. So it's not actually subjectively a halacha of putting mezuzah where you walk, that's just an indication of which side Hashem chose, so mezuzah should still be on the right side, even for us. And another example is kissing the mezuzah, which of course you don't have to do, that's a nice idea of chibur mitzvah, so he discusses if you have to kiss the mezuzah with your left hand. Now again, the same logic applies. You don't have to kiss the mezuzah with any hand. Even if you want to kiss it, you can kiss it with your mouth, if you can reach. So there's no halach of hand in kissing the mezuzah, and therefore you can use whatever hand you want, and there's no problem. Two more things and we finished. Kriya, Aleinu, on a mother and a father have to be done on the left side because they're supposed to expose the heart. It's not literally, at least figuratively, expose the heart. So again, those poskim that thought that left-handed people, their heart is on the right side, they said to do Kriya on the right side. But since we know that it's not true, so Kriya is done always on the left side, even for left-handed people. And the last halacha, I'll leave you with a complicated issue, which you can ask around later on, which is under the chuppah, when the ring is handed from the chosin to the kala, so halacha says it should be given from the chosin's right hand to the kala's right hand. And here there's a big discussion and dispute, what should happen with the left-handed, either when they're both left-handed, or one is and one isn't. And we actually find all options. Some people say that it's an issue of Kabbalistic meaning and it should still be from right hand to right hand. Some people say that it should be from left hand to left hand because it's just like giving over an object of a mitzvah. And one pasuk says that the chassan should always use his right hand, but the kala should accept it in whichever hand she plans on wearing the ring on. Because that is the ring that is designated for that hand, and that's what people will see later on. So basically, you could either do whatever you want, or you can wait and 5 minutes before the chuppah, ask whoever's being the side of your chuppah, and you probably won't know the answer, unless you're left-handed, but you can leave that to a last-minute decision. Just to end, there are countless psukim in Tanakh that reference right-handedness and how right represents, you know, all these positive things. There's only one pasuk that actually praises left-handedness, and that's a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, and we say this at a siyum, it says, Orech emin bimina, that there is long life in the right side of Torah, v'smola osher v'chavo, that wealth and honor are on the left side. So in theory, we may not live as long as right-handed people, but hopefully we'll have a very wealthy and a very healthy and a very honorable life. Anyway, if anyone has questions, please stay afterwards. Don't have to hold everyone back.